Just to come now and lead us in our service.
Good morning. If you'll stand and take your hymnals and turn to number 108, we want to start with Come Christians Join to Sing. It's number 108.
Come Christians Join to Sing. Alleluia.
We are grateful for the time that we have to come together as your people. We pray today that you would just be preparing our hearts for your word and that you would just help us to apply that to our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Turn back now to number 8. I want to sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty, number 8.
All ye who hear.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Psalm 121 is just a marvelous little psalm that talks about the Lord's care for us, asks the question, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then that marvelous little verse, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And then there's some other things, how he will keep us. The sun will not smite us, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Just a good psalm of assurance, confidence in the care of the Lord. And we're going to have the choir come and sing Psalm 121 for us.
He who shall keep you safe.
The next three readings and hymns really all go together. We're going to start with a responsive reading in the back of your hymnal, number 683. That's going to start us out in the Gospel of John, and then we're going to sing about the bread of life, and then we're going to have our scripture reading, which picks up where we leave off. But if you all stand with me and turn to number 683. This is a responsive reading from the Gospel of John, and you'll start with the regular text, and I'll read the bold. Jesus said to them,
"I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe.
All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out.
For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. And they were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?"
Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.
It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life."
We'll say this last line all together. I am the bread of life. Let's turn back now to number 51. This hymn talks about the bread of heaven, the bread of life. And it also talks about the security of our salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's sing number 51.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears move aside. Bear me through the swelling current, lead me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Thank you. You may be seated. Phil Daniels is going to come now and read the scripture for the day, which picks off. picks up right where we left off with the responsive reading.
If you wouldn't mind, turn to John 6, and we'll be reading verses 47 through 59. As I'm getting older, I'm going to have these spectacles on. Starting in verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and die, and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for Jesus Christ who came and gave himself for us. And as we sang, and as the choir is saying, Lord, we're so thankful for that opportunity to be able to partake. Lord, as John brings the message, just pray that you prepare hearts, that we would be one with you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that if there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they may partake of the true living food. Lord, I just thank you so much for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And ask that you turn to that passage that Phil read in John chapter 6. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the bread that came down out of heaven. We want to partake of that bread. We want to live forever. We thank you for life. Pray that as we look at this passage, we might be, as it were, gazing upon the glory of the Lord, and in some way be transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. Thank you for this passage, and thank you for these who have come, and we just pray that you would bless our time. Open to us your word, teach us, and may we praise you in your name. Amen. As we stay in John chapter 6, you're probably getting used to me saying that this is a difficult passage, and that this is one of those passages that people have fought over and still fight over theologically. It just is really tough. If you look at this passage, specifically the verses starting at about verse 48 down to 59, where Phil read for us, if you look at it in terms of communion, you can, and think of it back in terms of church history leading up from, say, 600 or 1600 up through our present day, you just see a never-ending fight theologically, and for sure in our day, and back in the Reformation time in the 1600s, armies squared off over one of the main differences in this passage. So you might kind of keep in the back of your mind that next week is Communion Sunday. I think Dale will be leading us in the service. And part of what we say today might at least give you some reason to think this week about communion. What does it mean? What will we be doing next Sunday? The flowers will be gone. There'll be bread in a cup. And what will we be doing as we partake of that? And so we would encourage you to perhaps think of maybe some things I say this morning, but think about that, because it means something. We have a position here at the church that I'll try to make relatively clear today, as differs than some other groups. But we want maybe to use this as an introduction for next week, when Dale leads us in remembering the death of our Lord. You're familiar with the church in Rome. They have a doctrine of what is called transubstantiation, that at a specific time in the Mass or the communion service, the bread actually becomes Christ's flesh, and the wine that they use actually becomes Christ's blood. And when you come forward to participate, you don't take the blood, but you will be given a wafer, and the one who gives it to you says, "Receive Christ." Now, we talk about receiving Christ in some sense, but they talk about receiving Christ. Leads to a little bit of confusion when you ask them, "Have you ever received Christ as Savior?" They say, "All the time." See, they are literally partaking, because the elements change. They actually become flesh and blood. Some of the reformers, Luther, backed off a little bit from that, and some of the other reformers followed him, and they came up with some sort of thing called consubstantiation, where the elements still remain the elements, but as you partake them, in some sense, they don't actually define it clearly, but in some sense, Christ is present. It's not actually his flesh, actually his blood, but in some sense, it's his presence. And then some of the other reformers pulled away from that a bit. I think Zwingli was one of them. Never did get this ironed out between them, split the Reformation, among other things. And they thought that the elements are a memorial. They are symbolic. So we are memorializing, if you will. We are remembering with symbols. And we have at least those three main families of groups on this chapter, see. And it never has been resolved. But having said all that, and looking at maybe as you read this, maybe thinking in terms of communion, And the words that Paul, that the Lord used, you know, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. And this very vivid picture. Let me say that I don't think this passage has anything to do with communion at all. Okay? That's an issue that has been put on this passage, but I don't think it's valid. Okay? So just don't dismiss everything I said, because that's the world we live in. But it's not this passage. We are not going to talk about communion in this passage. And that just fits. John's not talking to the church here. They had no concept of the death of Christ at this point. They had no concept of the new covenant in his blood. And it's just out of place historically that he would be writing, the Lord would be speaking to these people about a, if you will, a ceremony that the church practices. So it's not about communion. What it's talking about is the same thing we talked about last week. It's talking about eternal life. It's talking about salvation. How is a person saved? How does a person live forever? See, that's the issue. Last week, you remember in the first few verses, and they the verses that we read responsively, salvation is of the Lord. God calls, God draws, God saves, and it emphasized his work of salvation. Today we get a little bit, and it talked about how people are saved. It's by God. Today we kind of move it a little bit more to our response. See, how do we respond to that work of God? And so this kind of puts the other side of it, the work of God in salvation, which is total and complete, see, and secure. And then how do we get involved in it? And I think this passage is talking about that. See, it's talking about eternal life, talking about salvation. And it's important to get a sense of context before we get down to verse 49. Okay, just let me just read a few verses that we've read this morning, by the way, and maybe you didn't catch the right phrases, but just starting at verse 31, I'm just really big chunks, 31 through 35. Whatever this bread is that the Lord's talking about, it's not bread like manna was. Okay? It's not bread. It's not earthly bread, whatever he's talking about. Verse 35, to satisfy your hunger and to satisfy your thirst, see, you believe. Now just remember that. He's talking about to satisfy your hunger, to satisfy your thirst with this bread that's not earthly bread. You believe. Verse 40, see, you behold the sun and believe for eternal life. Verse 47, he who believes has eternal life. So whatever else he's talking about or however he's presenting it in this next section, remember what he has said before. It's not earthly bread. To satisfy your hunger and your thirst, it's not a physical process. You believe. And you believe to have eternal life. See, that's the context. And you just need to keep that in your mind. The whole discussion leading up to this section, in the whole discussion and in other chapters, the Lord is constantly telling people. It started with the woman at the well, and he started with Nicodemus, and started then finished with the woman at the well, and says, I'm not talking about physical things. The woman thought he was talking about the water in Jacob's well. He said, no, I'm talking about living water that gives eternal life. And the Lord is constantly calling people to stop thinking about this earth. Stop thinking about physical properties. Stop thinking about something down here. He's trying to lift the people to get them to think about spiritual truths that are eternal. See? And what seems to be down here that we're so familiar with is something he says, don't think about familiar things down here. Think about what is true and what is real, what is not temporal, but what is eternal. And so he's constantly moving us off of things that are down here. So all of that to get us into the passage today. Starts out in verse 48 with a clear statement, unmistakable statement. I am the bread of life. See? It's emphatic. I am the bread of life. I am the, in the figure of bread, you know, the staple, if you will, the essential thing for health, the sufficient thing for life. I mean, these people could eat bread and live on it. See? I am the essential, substantial, sufficient food for life. See, I am the bread of life. And he goes on, he says, and by the way, when I talk about this bread, remember, and he kind of repeats, I'm not talking about the type of bread that people eat. For example, your father's in the wilderness. See. They had manna, verse 40 says, 49 rather. They ate manna in the wilderness that God gave them, but they all died. See, he's setting up a contrast. Whatever bread he's talking about and whatever eating he's talking about, he says, it's not like they had in the wilderness because they ate something. They picked it up in their hands. They put it in their mouth. They chewed it. They digested it. They died. Some of them lived for 40 years with it, but sooner or later, they all died, see. But when Jesus says bread, verse 50 says, the bread I'm talking about is the bread that comes down out of heaven so that you can eat it and never die. Never die, see, by eating this bread. And notice how he always stresses, whenever he talks about himself and he talks about his ministry, he always stresses, I am not from here, I came down from heaven. He's always moving us to his heavenly origin and says, the Father sent me, I came down. See? And I'm not like the manna. I'm not talking about something like manna that you eat and you die. See? It's different than something physical. And he repeats it, verse 51. He really wants to get this message across. He repeats it. And he probably repeats it 3 or 4 times in this chapter. See, I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. Not just bread of life, but living bread. And you get the picture that this bread is capable of giving life, not just sustaining life, but giving life. I am the living bread. It's not something that's been harvested and ground into flour and formed into loaves and baked in an oven. See? It's alive. I am the living bread. And I came down out of heaven. And if you eat this bread, verse 51 says, you will live forever. That's the flip side of never die. You'll live forever, see. And the bread, see, it is not like manna, see. When they first saw manna on the ground, the sons of Israel said, man who? Which is Hebrew for, what is it? See? And from man who, we get the name manna, see? He says, I'm not that. I, very definite, see? It's not what is it? It's I am the living bread, and the bread that I'm talking about, verse 51, I give for the life of the world, and it's my flesh. I give my flesh, my body, for the life of the world. That's what he's talking about here, see. Now, we have an advantage to these people. We we can say, I know what he's talking about, giving his body. See, we can jump ahead 15 chapters or 14 chapters and talk about the cross and his death on the cross, and we can move it into all sorts of, because we have the complete. They didn't know that, see. All they knew is that here's this man saying, I will give my flesh for the life of the world. Think about that. If the world is going to live, I will give my flesh for that life. Think of Isaiah 53, maybe. I mean, we have greatly advantaged over these people. First Peter, they didn't have First Peter, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. See, we have all that picture. We can think of the cross, but and so it kind of waters it down a little bit in our eyes. They didn't have that. They just had a man standing in front of them saying, I will give my flesh for the life of the world. See? Well, if you heard that, it would be completely legitimate for you to say, what is he talking about? Because what would you think about if some guy says, I'm going to give my flesh for life? See? You'd conjure up some, perhaps some weird, horrible, you know, you say, you know, oh, I don't, what is he, and they may have been asking in unbelief, but at least it was a legitimate question. The Jews began to argue and saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What else would you think? I'm going to give my flesh for the life. What else would you think? You'd say, how can he give us his flesh? See. And of course, that's the problem. What are they thinking about? They're thinking about something down here. See, they're thinking about how is it that we can eat his flesh? See, and their minds are just maybe blinded in unbelief, but their minds are totally down here thinking in their physical terms. See, and their conclusion, by the way, is that it can't happen. See? That's what they're thinking. It can't be. We hear his words. We think we understand them. At least we understand them in our framework. It can't be. He cannot be talking about giving his flesh for life. And so the Lord says, let me repeat. And he makes it very serious in verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you. That's as solemn and as strong a statement as you can get in all Scripture, other than the word of the Lord came. But here's, truly, truly, I say to you. When the Lord says that, you need to listen to it, because that is just absolutely, this is important, and it is absolutely firm and established and see. Just in case you think you misunderstood me, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and unless you drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. Okay. Now, right there, they ought to know that he's not talking in their terms. Because they're living. They're standing there, they're alive, and he's saying, unless you eat my flesh and unless you drink my blood, you have no life in yourself. See, they should have started thinking, well, maybe he's talking about something else, but they don't make that thing. But he says, don't be mistaken. You didn't mishear me. I did not misspeak. In fact, he goes on, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. If you don't eat my flesh and don't drink my blood, you don't have life. I mean, that's, you can't get any plainer than that. Life is in his flesh and life is in his blood. You either have it or you don't. And it depends on your partaking of eating his flesh and blood. If you do, see, if you do, verse 54 says, you're guaranteed eternal life. You will live forever, and I guarantee it because I myself will raise you up on that last day. Sort of a repeat of what we picked up in verse 44 in last week, see, verse 40. You eat my flesh, you drink my blood, I will raise you up personally. You will have eternal life. I guarantee it. See? It's an amazing statement. And up to this point, this is where the difficulty comes from, because people still think, what does it mean? See? I think we just have, as I said at the beginning, the context helps us. Jump back to 39, see, where it uses the phrase, the ones that the Father gives me, I will raise up. Verse 40, the ones who behold me and believe in me, I will raise up. See, verse 44, you come because the Father draws, I will raise up. See, and then down in verse 54, eat my flesh and drink my blood, I will raise up. See, he's doing his best, if you will, to tell us what he's talking about. He's talking about the process of salvation. People are saved, but you, the Father draws, you behold and you believe, you come, you eat, you drink. See, it's talking about salvation, not talking about physical things. And it works, because this is the only true food, the only true drink. Now, you can have bread, you can have wine, you can have coffee, you can have milk. You want true drink that gives eternal life. See, you can have whole wheat bread, or you can have Wonder Bread. Remember that old white mushy stuff, Wonder Bread, with that builds strong bodies 12 different ways? Some of you might remember that. His body is the only true bread, see, that really gives life. And I think as we come down, see, to verse 56, we can easily, I say easily, recognizing hundreds of years of controversy, easily see in the context here, see, eating and drinking is a picture of coming and beholding and believing. It's the same thing, just a very vivid illustration, a very vivid picture of what he means. See? The result of coming and beholding and believing and eating and drinking is what we pick up later on in the New Testament. Christ in us and we in him. That union, if you will, that real union in Ephesians chapter 5, using marriage as an illustration, the two become one flesh because they're joined inseparably. Christ and the church become one in that figure, see. And here, I think, at least to me, this is what he's doing, using a figure that in the most graphic terms possible, talk about becoming one, receiving, beholding and believing and being united with Jesus Christ by belief, see. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And this is why the Father sent him, as we said last week. The living Father sent me, and I live in the Father, and I give life, see, I give life to others. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. And it just seems to me that as you, if you build the context and you look at what he's talking about how a person is saved and what happens when a person is saved. Coming and beholding and believing in Jesus Christ in the figure of eating and drinking, partaking, receiving in as tight a figure as you can possibly get. See? That's how a person is saved. And what happens is you have eternal life. You partake thoroughly. You partake completely. You take in. And he abides in you, and you abide in him in the figure of eating and drinking. And, of course, we move it, and rightly so, and we'll talk about that when we get there. We move it to the cross. That's the mechanism, if you will, by which he did literally give his body and his blood. See? That's how he did it. But you put it back in this passage, and we partake of that. By our belief, we see that, and we believe. See, and his and the life he gives on the basis of our faith is eternal life. See, and this shouldn't be hard. We use these this figure all the time, right? Did you ever hear of somebody who likes to read? They say he just devours books, right? Or somebody who's really gullible, he swallowed a lie, right? Or if we stick our foot in our mouth, we have to eat our words. I mean, we use these figures all the time to illustrate we are really taking in something. We're not really eating words, but we're having to take them back. We're not really swallowing lies, but we are assimilating that lie into our mind and living on the basis of that, you know. You go out to Grand Canyon or something and you drink in the beauty. Well, you don't, you know, whatever. You get the picture. And that's what he's saying here, see. You take me in thoroughly. And you believe. And you have eternal life. And he does it on the basis of the cross work, his death, and his on the cross. See? That's why the psalmist and Peter quotes him says, I think that's why the psalmist says, and Peter quotes him in 1 Peter chapter 2, taste and see that the Lord is good. He just doesn't say believe. He says taste and see. So when you read this, you can, I think, don't stumble over. We'll talk about that next week. Don't stumble over this hard figure as though, how can this man give us his flesh and blood, you know, in terms of physical? How can he give us something to chew on and to drink? What he's talking about is, hey, look at me, see me, believe, see, and you partake thoroughly of him. And the question we ask ourselves as we come to this section is, what are you living on today, see? Is your life down here and you're living on stuff like the manna that the fathers ate in the wilderness? If you are, you die. Maybe not today. But if the only food in your life is the food that you'll partake in the fellowship hall, you're going to die. Sooner or later, see. But if the food that you're partaking, the real food, true drink, is the person of Jesus Christ and his gift of giving of himself, his body for the life of the world on the cross and anticipate that. But if that's your food, if that's what you're believing in, if that's what gives you life, see, he says, you live forever. And he will make sure that if you happen to die physically before he comes, at the last day, he will raise you himself. See? We printed up, or had printed in the bulletin, some verses out of Isaiah 55, which is as close to the gospel in the Old Testament as you can possibly get. Starting just a few verses, put this in the context of John 6. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear. Come to me. Listen, that you may live. And that's what the Lord is saying to people in John chapter 6. Here I am. Here's my flesh. Here's my blood. We look at the cross where he literally gave that. Listen, hear my words, believe, and live. All of that when Jesus Christ says very simply, I am the bread of life. Partake, eat, and live. And I would encourage you to think about what you're living on today. Maybe all of you are believers. Maybe all of you are living on the true bread and the true drink. Maybe some of you are not, and you're still down here physically, and this is your life, and you need to eat and to drink Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, cause us to think deeply about our food. Cause us to think deeply about the provision of it in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Cause us to think deeply, Lord, about what we believe, that we might live. I pray that you would take these words, confused and whatever that they might have been, and that you would be pleased through your Spirit to make them clear to each one of us, that we might see wherein our life lies. We thank you for the bread of life. I pray that it might be true for each one of us today. In your name, amen. We recognize that the person of Jesus Christ, the primary, if you will, means of the revelation of him, whereby we know him and whereby we ground our faith in him, is in the Word, the written Word, the record that God has given us. And so it's appropriate, I think, at the end of this section to turn to number 274 and ask the Lord to take his Word and open it to us so that we can see more than just the words. We can see that beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. And we can also sing, and in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. And so we ask the Lord to open his Word that we might see Jesus. So let's stand, please, and we'll sing all four verses of 274. And then, Steve, would you come and close in prayer, please?
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me.
As Heavenly Father, how easy it is to look to other things to find satisfaction. How easy it is to look at manna to find satisfaction rather than where true life is found. Help us, Father, to be a people who understand what it means to receive you, to trust in you. Father, should there be people here today who have not participated, who have not partaken of the Lord Jesus, that they may believe, may trust in Him alone, and have life. Father, we thank you as well that we have opportunity to partake of the blessing of food that you give to us today. Bless it. Thank you for those who prepare it for us. And give us a good afternoon of fellowship together around the table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.